Morning, today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Lamed. We have the schus this morning of starting the 19th parak of Maseches Shabbos. And we start with a Mishnah. Before we begin with the Mishnah, this parak is going to be dedicated to the topic of the mitzvah of Milah as it relates to Shabbos. So on Shabbos, so if the eighth day of the baby falls out on a Shabbos, so the mitzvah of Milah is Dochas HaShabbos. The mitzvah of Milah is a Melech HaShabbos. It's a violation of Shabbos. At the same time, the Torah says that the mitzvah bizmana, the mitzvah done at its proper time, is going to be overriding the Chilul Shabbos. The beginning of our perek is going to be dedicated to the fact that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that not only is the mitzvah of Milah Dochas HaShabbos, but Machshir Milah is going to be Dochas HaShabbos. As we go through the Mishnah, we're going to explain much better exactly what that means, Machshir Milah, what is uncovered. Within Machshir Milah, that is going to be the topic of our discussion here in this parak. How come we're here? How come we're discussing the mitzvah of Milah? So the obvious answer is because we're discussing it in terms of its interplay with Shabbos. But on top of that also, if you go back to the last mission that we've done, which was on Kuf Chav Ches Amud Beis, so the Mishnah talks about delivering a baby on Shabbos, both delivering animals and delivering human life on Shabbos. And it comes up in the 18th parak because the delivering of an animal might fall under the category of Tircha Yisera. That was Rashi back in the Mishnah. And then it segued over to the delivering of human life. When you come to human life, so you're grappling with the issue of Sekhanas Nefashos, the person's life in Halacha is paramount. And so therefore, your Mechal Shabbos to do anything for the Chaya, for the woman giving birth. And then the Mishnah just mentioned at the end, and Chol Tzarchi Milah Osim B'Shabbos, and the Tzarchi Milah is done on Shabbos as well. So that is the end. That's the last mission that we saw. So then it segued into our Mishnah, which is now going to be a discussion of the mitzvah of Milah on Shabbos itself. And over the course of this parak, we're also going to be talking about just the general aspects of Milah, meaning the mitzvah in of itself. But this is it. This is the parak in Shas that discusses the mitzvah of Milah. And without further ado, let's begin. By the way, the connection between the last Mishnah and our Mishnah over here, that's Rashi. Rashi says it very succinctly on the first Rashi on our parak. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im lohevi kli me'er Shabbos, mevi'o b'Shabbos megula. So let's say the kli was not brought on Erev Shabbos. So that means to say that there's a mitzvah of Milah to be done on Shabbos. The baby was born last Shabbos. Mitzvah is going to be done this Shabbos. But the kli was not brought in. The mole forgot to bring the knife. And now it's a requirement of carrying the knife through a Rishus HaRabim. So carrying the knife through the Rishus HaRabim, that is Chil Shabbos, and this is going to fall under the category of Machshire Milah. The mitzvah of Milah is the cutting off of the Arla. That is the allowance that's given. The Torah's Heter is that one is allowed to cut off the Arla. Now, as I already pointed out, that's a Malach on Shabbos, but that is Docha Shabbos, and that's agreed to by everybody. But now we're talking about things that are not necessarily the Milah itself, but preparation that's need to be done for the Milah. So obviously what you would like to do is have everything prepared before Shabbos, but our Mishnah is now dealing with a scenario in which the knife was not brought to the baby. The knife was left at home. And so now an act of hotza, an act of carrying is going to need to happen in order to bring the knife over to the baby. So the Mishnah says, according to Shita Rebbe Lazar, Mlo hevi kli me'er Shabbos me'viyo b'Shabbos. So you're going to bring the knife on Shabbos. So now you're walking a knife through a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Megula, you have to do so in an uncovered state, meaning you have to expose a knife. You have to let people know that you're carrying a knife. The reason why, we're going to get to in just a moment. Uva Sakana. Now, historically, there were times where the mitzvah of Milah was banned. During the Roman persecution of the Jewish people, we're right now in the 3 weeks. It is unfortunately the right time to bring it up. So during many of the years of Roman persecution, so they made bans against doing the mitzvah of Milah. The Greeks did it as well. But anyway, so the... So if it was during a time of persecution and the mitzvah of Milah could not be publicized, and so now you're in this bind in which you forgot the knife, you got to bring the knife, you have to walk it through the street. However, if somebody sees you bringing a mole knife, so they're going to now know that you're going to do the mitzvah of Milah, and obviously this is dangerous. So what you're going to do is michaseu. So then Rabbi Eliezer gives you the allowance to cover the knife. Al pi edim, but you have to have witnesses with you. Now the purposes of the witnesses with you, so they're going to testify to other people that this is a knife and you're not being Mechal Shabbos, you're not violating Shabbos. And so on one hand, you get to bring the knife over in a clandestine manner. On the other hand, the witnesses are going to be able to protect your reputation. V'odama Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says, okay, so how far back does this Machshirin go? So we just gave one example of Machshirin in which one can carry a knife over to the baby in order to perform the meal on Shabbos. So this act of hotzah is not the actual mitzvah of milah, it's only a preparatory stage, but that's allowed. So how far back, according to Rabbi Elazar, can one go? So we're going to see right now. Let's say the following. Let's say I don't have a knife. And now we have to fashion a knife. Now, I don't know how long it takes to make a knife, but for the purposes of understanding this Mishnah, let's assume it takes within a day. So on Shabbos, what you can do is you can cut down a tree in order to make fire, in order to heat up the metal, in order so that you can fashion a knife on Shabbos. So, according to Rabbi Elazar, there does not seem to be any bounds. One can do any preparatory act to facilitate the milah on Shabbos, including even the making of the knife. The making of a knife is certainly going to be an act of, in the very least, makat bepatish. The lighting of the coals is going to be an act of havara. There are multiple malachas that are being performed over here, but for machshirei milah, it would be allowed. All this is shitas Rabbi Eliezer. The idea that one can not only do the milah on Shabbos itself, but also the machshirei milah, that is the shita Rabbi Eliezer, and that's in contradistinction to the other Tanaim. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Kol malacha she'efshal la'asos ha'meir of Shabbos, eino dochetz ha'Shabbos, she'efshal la'asos ha'meir of Shabbos, dochetz ha'Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says, here's the rule. If it's something that we could have done before Shabbos, so then it does not override the Shabbos. If it's something that we could not have done before Shabbos, so then that does override the Shabbos, and that really is limited to the actual Mila itself. Rashi writes at the end of the Mishnah, Kagon Mila Atzma. That's the Mila itself, she'efshal la'asos. You cannot do it before Shabbos, it's manabi yom hashmini, doche Shabbos. Because the mitzvah of milah is specific to the time of the eighth day. Eighth day, by the way, not the evening of the eighth day, but specific to the eighth day. So you can only do it on Shabbos. So that's the only thing that can override the Shabbos. Everything else cannot override the Shabbos. According to Shitas Rabbi Akiva, the Sahalacha, is Machshirei Milah is not Doches HaShabbos. So in our Mishnah, we have over here a basic debate between Tanayim, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Akiva, as to whether or not Machshirei Milah are going to be Doche Es HaShabbos. Rabbi Eliezer says yes, and Rabbi Akiva says no. And just in terms of a basic discussion to be had within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, so Tosfos over here writes, Vim Tomar, it's first Tosfos on the Amud, V'yaviyo atidok etzokli. So you are right now in a bind, where the baby and the knife are in two separate locations, and one has to be transported to the other. So Rabbi Elijah says, so you pick up the knife and you bring it to the baby. Now again, that's not the halacha, as we're going to keep reminding ourselves, this is all the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, but according to, according to Rabbi Akiva, that you would just simply have to postpone the milah, meaning the conclusion would be is that if the knife was not brought to the baby and the malacha of hotza would have to be done, so the halacha would demand that we're going to do the milah on Sunday, we're not going to do it on Shabbos. Can I ask a goy to do it? It's a separate issue, but we don't pass them like Rabbi Eliezer. But again, in learning right now, we're within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So you're going to pick up the knife and you're going to bring it to the baby. So the Im Tomar, so Tosos asks, okay, so I understand that we're going to be doing now a Chil Shabbos, but a Chil Shabbos that's allowed, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, Machshir and Mila is allowed. So Tosos says, Im Tomar, V'yavio Atin, okay, so clean. So Tosos says, very simple. So why don't we bring the baby over to the knife? The Hashalek Yisr Shabbos Klal. Because once you think about it from a halachic standpoint, it is certainly going to be better to bring the baby to the knife rather than the knife to the baby. Because we learned back on Daf Tzadi Dalid that when you're carrying somebody who himself is somebody who can help support some of his weight, so this falls under the category of Chai Nosei Satzmo, which means that the carrying of the baby would not be a violation of Shabbos on a Daraisa level. And so wouldn't it be better to carry the baby to the knife rather than carry the knife to the baby? Carrying the knife to the baby, that is an absolute violation of Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. One which is allowed, but on the other hand, why violate Shabbos if I don't have to violate Shabbos? I could just simply bring the baby over to the knife. So Tosus's first answer, which I know I read quickly, but Tosus's first answer is that after the meal, the baby is going to be immobilized. Baby just went through surgery. Baby's going to be immobilized. The baby falls under the category of what's called kafus. We did this back on Daf Tzadi Dalet. The idea is that you only have the idea of chai nosei asatmo when you are ambulatory. Now, admittedly, within this Tosfos, it is a little bit challenging to understand because at 8 days of age, this infant is not mobile much to begin with. But nevertheless, Tosfos In Tosus's answer, he sees a distinction to be made between pre-surgery, post-surgery. So pre-surgery, the baby falls under this category of chai nosei es atzmo. Post-surgery, the baby now is totally immobilized, and you do not have this chai nosei es atzmo. So Tosus says, bringing the baby to the knife will not help you halachically, because eventually you're going to have to bring the baby back, and that's going to be a bona fide act of carrying. Okay, Tosus' second answer, which is the one that excites people. Tosus says in the second answer, look, when you're bringing the knife to the baby, it's just going to be easier. Easier and, says Tosos, quicker. And quicker is better, says Tosfos. We're going to see the Gemara later this morning, where there was an instance where a knife had to be transported, and it was done so in a circuitous route. We'll discuss it in just a little bit. So the knife was brought in a circuitous route, and Rabbi Eliezer says, why are you doing that? Meaning, take the most direct route. This is machshire mila. According to me, it's totally mutter. Take the most direct route. What's the difference between taking a circuitous route, which halachically is a little bit better, or taking the most direct route? Ama d'shar Rebbe Lazar derech rishus rabin. D'havi d'araisa k'dei lemahir ha-mitzvah. Because once you're expediting the mitzvah, that is preferable. Afa pishiach alasos binyan d'leka eli sur d'rabanan. Even if I can circumvent the issur d'araisa, both literally and figuratively, if I can circumvent the issur d'araisa, but it's much better to do so in an expedited fashion, that shows that you have an alacrity, that shows that you have an excitement over the mitzvah, and so that's going to be preferable. So if the question now is to bring the knife to the baby to the knife, if bringing the knife to the baby is quicker, so quicker is better, and it would allow, according to Rabbi Lazar, one to violate even an issur d'araisa, even though the only counter consideration is that I'm doing so in a quicker fashion. Okay, so just a really interesting Tosos, much analysis in the Tosos, which we're not going to go through right now, but nevertheless, just the idea of, just the considerations of Tosos in terms of what to carry to what. Ibai Luhu, we start with the Gemara. Taima de Rebbe Elazar mishum chavuva mitzvah, o dilma mishum chashada. Rebbe Elazar says that if you're going to be carrying the knife through the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, so there are one of two possible ways to explain it. One, says the Gemara, is because you want to show your love for the mitzvah. Rashi writes over here, Mishum Chivav Mitzvah, Lohdiya Shechaviv HaMitzvah Alav, Shemechal Shabbos Aleha. How much do we love the mitzvah of Mila? We love it so much that we're Mechal Shabbos. Now, it's interesting that it is a indication of love, meaning we're doing so because that's what the halacha demands. But the halacha obviously is telling us a value system. The halacha is telling us that Mila is paramount. How important is Mila Bizmana? Mila at the right time is so paramount that it's going to override the Shabbos. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's even more paramount. Meaning not only is the mitzvah of Mila going to override the Shabbos, but Machshire Mila is going to override the Shabbos as well. So it shows our love. So why is the Mullah now walking through the street with an exposed knife? He wants to show his love of the mitzvah of Mila. That's one possibility. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe the other possibility is that if you're not exposing the knife and you're just simply carrying it in some sort of case, so people see you carrying on Shabbos, so they don't understand. And now they're going to be suspicious of you, and there goes your reputation. And the Chachamim make sure that we all keep our reputations good and pristine, even if what you're doing is the right thing. But nevertheless, if what you're doing is not above suspicion, so that's not good. So the other possibility why the knife has to be exposed is so that you're simply not suspected. Now the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina lasuy mechusa al pi edim." So the Gemara says, now the nafkamina between these two explanations would be the following. Let's say, we're not talking about during a time of sakana. We're just simply saying it's a regular Shabbos and the mole's carrying the knife, but he wants to keep it in the case. Would he be allowed to keep it in the case and be flanked by two witnesses? Meaning during the time of Sakana, we were given this instruction. So if it wasn't during a time of Sakana, so can he do this? So the Gemara says, now that's going to be the nafka. I mean, that's going to be the difference between these two explanations. If the idea is that I'm supposed to flaunt how much we love the mitzvah of Mila, so then, as long as I can flaunt it, I need to flaunt it. So you absolutely have to expose it. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, if the consideration of Rabbi Elazar is that I should be above suspicion, okay, so I'll carry it in the case, and I'll be flanked by the witnesses, and the witnesses will be able to protect my reputation. So the Gemara says, okay, so what would in fact be the correct way to understand Rabbi Elazar? Itmar Amar Rabbi Levi Lo Amar Rabbi Lazar El Chavuvei Mitzvah. So the Gemara has a tradition from Rav Levi that it's chivav mitzvah, it's for the love of the mitzvah. Taina mehach, the Gemara has a brisa, mevia megula veim mevia mechusa divrei Rabbi Elazar. And in the brisa, Rabbi Elazar says it in a much more positive, a much more positive tone than he said back in the Mishnah. Right? In the brisa, mevia megula, you must bring it uncovered. Meaning that you have to show people, you have to demonstrate people that this is the mitzvah of Mila and how much we love the mitzvah of Mila. Am Ravashi Masis Nami Deka Diktani. Ravashi says, look, even if I go back to the Mishnah and critically read the Mishnah, I'm going to be able to read this into the Mishnah. That if it's during a time of danger, of governmental danger, so then you cover it. So b'sakana inshalo, b'sakana lo. Only under these circumstances is one supposed to cover the knife. Under all under circumstances, the knife is to be exposed. Shmamina mishum chivu v'mitzvah shmamina. So the Gemara says so clearly, categorically, the reason behind Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that if you end up carrying the knife through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos, you have to expose it in order to show your love for the mitzvah. Tan Yidach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Mivim Magula Vein Mivim Mechusa, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. It must be brought in an uncovered fashion, the knife, not covered. Rabbi Huda Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar, No Haganayu B'Shasas Kadoshayu Mivim Mechusa Api Eidim. That said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Huda is quoted that our minhag was is that during the times of Sakana, we would bring it covered and we would have witnesses flanking us. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, in this brisa, you also get that same sense that according to Rabbi Elazar, as long as it's not a Shasa Sakana, so you must reveal the knife. Again, it's another proof that the reason behind Rabbi Elazar is Chavuvei Mitzvah. Ibayiluhu, the Gemara asked the following question, Edim Dekamar. Okay, just one follow-up question on this during this time of Sakana, where you have to be flanked by witnesses. Iu v'chado domo iu v'tred. So that means that you're walking together with two other people, or does that mean that you're walking with one other person? Now, let me go in the correct order of the Gemara. Does that mean you're going with one other person, or does that mean you're going with two other people? Now, the second way to say it is obviously going to be a much easier way to say it, because the Gemara is going to make this point, I'm just foreshadowing, but it says, al pi edim, you're going to be flanked by witnesses. And so it is obviously much more mistaber to say that you have to have two people accompany you. But the Gemara is going to make an argument. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's see. Uvitzakana mechseu, al pi edim. That if it's during a time of sakana, so it's to be covered with witnesses. Meaning, you're going to be walking with witnesses. So iamar bishlamu huvitrei shapir. So the Gemara makes a point. Gemara says, look, if it's you and two other people, so then the language makes a lot of sense because the language is edim. And we know that throughout halacha, Sanhedrin, Makos, throughout halacha, whenever we talk about edim, it means a pair of witnesses. So that means that two other people are walking with you. That really makes the most sense. But ela iamard hu v'chad, my edim. But what does it mean, you and one other person? When you and one other person, we're the edim. So the Gemara says, shiru'uyim lahayid b'makam acher. The edim are you and that other person. Not for this case, because as we're going to see Rashi in just a moment, this is not a case. Over here, we are not litigating. Over here, we're just simply protecting a reputation. The word edim just simply is a borrowed term to describe two people. But over here, it means you and one other person, but that doesn't mean that we are litigating over here. It just simply means we're talking about the number of people that are necessary. Rashi writes over here, shiru'uy lai b'makam acher la'olam hacha edus lo shaycha. This is not edus over here. Del afuki mechashad ba'amahu. All we're doing is just trying to protect the person's reputation. People don't suspect him. V'ein kan lo dine mamonos v'lo dine nefashos. This is not a civil case. This is not a capital case. Shu shnayim that I necessarily need two. Omai karlu edim de'ika gilui milsa. Edim over here just simply means that it's publicized. People know about it. Meaning once two people see something, so then it becomes known. So we're just borrowing the term over here, meaning once you're walking with somebody else, and anyone challenges, well, what are you doing? You're carrying on Shabbos? Oh, no. This is, we're going to the mitzvah of Mila. It's just, you know, it's bad historical times. I can't have the knife exposed, but, you know, and you're walking with somebody else. So between the two of you now, it will become known that what you were doing on Shabbos was not carrying. I mean, you were, but you were not violating Shabbos. You were performing the mitzvah of Mila, and you were involved in Machshirei Mila. Continuing in the Gemara, we're halfway down. In the community of Rabbi Elazar, so they pass like Rabbi Elazar, meaning to say that they chop the wood in order to make the coals, in order to heat up the metal, so that the knife could be fashioned on Shabbos. Bim Kamosha Rabbi Yosef Galili, in the community of Rabbi Yosef Galili, they would eat chicken together with milk. So there are two issues over here. The common thread between these two issues is that if you're living in a community where your Mar de Asra, where your Rav paskins a certain way, you follow that Rav. And the Rav obviously has to be somebody who is on the reservation, but once he is part and parcel of the Masorah and he paskins, and even though the psak that's given by the Rav is not a popular psak, but nevertheless, as long as he's part of the Masorah, so then you follow him. And even though in other communities it would not be done. So in other communities, Machshir Amila would not be done. And in other communities, milk and chicken would not be consumed together. But nevertheless, these Tanayim, who are the leaders of their communities, if you're living in their community, so you abide by their psak. I have a really good feeling that not every psak is going to go in the way that you want. But nevertheless, on these two psakim that are given, you follow them if you're living in their community. We're going to come back to the chicken and milk in just a moment. So we'll stay, not just a moment, we're coming back to it right now. We're continuing in the Gemara. Levi Igla Lebe Yosef Rishba. So Levi went to the house of Yosef. He was a bird trapper. Krivili Resha Detavcha Bechava. So he wanted to bring out his finest delicacy. So he brought the head of a bird, and it was cooked together in milk. And so this is what he offered as dinner, a delicacy. So lo achel. So Levi said, chicken and milk cooked together, you can't eat that. He didn't eat it. So kiyasa l'kamed to Rebbe. So he went to Rebbe, and Levi reported to Rebbe. You won't believe it. I went out to this community, and this is a bird trapper, and you can't believe what he fed me. So amar le la milo tishmatinu. So Rebbe says, it's great storytelling, but can I ask you a simple question? What he did was categorically usur, and you're not allowed to eat chicken and milk cooked together. And why didn't you put him in chayrim? And it's an issur derabanan, which I'm going to clarify in just a moment. But okay, so he's violating an issur derabanan. Put him in chayrim. What's going on over here? Where's the next part of the story? So Amar Lei, so Levi said back to Rebbe, Asrei de Rav Yehuda ben Beseira Hava. So it happens to be that he's a member of the community of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. The Amina and I did the following, Dan Lekav Schus. And we just did this in the Gemara a couple days ago. Right? The Gemara is on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, spent an entire Amud of Ar Masechta talking about Dan Lekav Schus. The Amina and I said, Dilma Darsh Luka Rav Yosei Aglili. And I said, look, I know his Rebbe's Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, and I'm suggesting that maybe Rav Yehuda ben Beseira follows him within the line of Rav Yosei Aglili. Did none. And now we get to see the Mishnah here. Rav Yosei Aglili Omer, Namar lo sochlu kol nevela, v'namar lo sevasho gediba chaladimo. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah puts together two Isurim back to back. One is the prohibition of eating nevela, an animal that did not benefit a shechita. Two is not to cook a kid in its mother's milk. And in other words, the Isur of Asa b'chalav, Esh Asa Mishum nevela, Asa Mishum Esha Asa Mishum nevela, Asa levasha b'chalav. So anything that's subject to the nevela Isur is going to be Asa to Basa b'chalav. And so now, using this logic, here's the conclusion we would have arrived at. Ov Sha Asa Mishum nevela. Now we know that Ov can become a nevela. If a bird dies without the benefit of a shechita, it is going to be subject to being under the Isur of nevela. So therefore, Yachol Yeh Asa Levasha b'chalav. So I might therefore think that is also subject to the Isur Basa b'chalav on a Daraisa level. So this comes to exclude, because the Torah says chalev imo, it has to be the kind of animal where the mother lactates and gives milk to its offspring, i.e. a mammal, and a bird does not do that. A bird does not produce milk for its young. And so therefore a bird does not fall under the category of basar b'chalav. That is the Mishnah in Chulin. That's the drasha that tells us that the meat of a bird is not subject to the issur d'oraisa basar b'chalav. It is subject to the Isser Dereisa of Nevela, but it's not subject to the Isser of Basa B'chalav, to the Isser of Basa B'chalav Midda Araisa. Now, the truth of the matter is that Rav Yosei Aglili actually goes even one step further, because we know the accepted halacha is that even though we accept this Mishnah, but Midda Rabbanan rabbinically, one is not allowed to eat the meat of bird together with milk. Bird meat and milk cooked together, so that is an Isser Rabbanan. The Chachamim were worried. Once we get comfortable with the idea of eating chicken and milk together, so then it's not going to be a far jump to go from chicken and milk to meat and milk. So the Chachamim banned it. Rav Yosei Aglili was of the position that there was no gzera, or the gzera didn't take. However, that's to be presented. But Rav Yosei Aglili says that it's mutar lagamrei. So that's the Mishnah in Chulin. That's Rav Yosei Aglili. So again, now going all the way back to the beginning of the story. So Levi said back to Rebbe, when Levi reported what happened, Levi said to Rebbe, look, the Rebbe of this Rav Yosef Rishba, was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who could have himself been a student of Rabbi Yosef Galili, and so therefore, if in fact he is following the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Galili, so then he does have a Rav who is following, and therefore he shouldn't be put in Cheret. Now the story ends over there, and the speculation whether it's correct or whether it's not correct, we don't know, but nevertheless, at least there is an argument to make that this Rav Yosef Rishva should not be put in Cheret. I'm Rav Yitzchak Yerachas Ha'isa Be'eretz Yisrael Shah, you osing Rebbe Lazar, Vayumesim Bizmanam. So there was a city in Eretz Yisrael. They followed like Rebbe Lazar, meaning that Rebbe Lazar was their posek, and they followed him, and they died in the right time, meaning that there was no onish, min hashamayim, for the fact that they engaged in the heter of Rebbe Lazar of Machshirei Milan Shabbos, because they followed the Rav. And just to show that there was no divine punishment, so they, Kadosh Baruch Hu made sure that everyone there died not prematurely. In fact, again, just to show more providence, more divine providence, so within that particular city, so even though the Romans made a decree on Eretz Yisrael, so for reasons that we now know, so that particular city was given a sanctuary from that decree, and they did not have to suffer through that decree on the mitzvah of Mila because they followed like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, this is not the first time in Shas where you had a shout-out, so to say, from above in terms of the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. And we're going to see a little bit more of this morning as well. That the Shita Rabbi Lazar is, on one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly acknowledged it, at times even favored it, but it did not become the accepted halacha. And this tension within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, we're seeing it right now. We see it in other places in Shas as well. Bab Metzia, the most popular place where you see it. You have this kind of tension within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Rishim and Gamliel, Amar Kol Mitzvah Shekibul Aleim B'Simcha Kegon Mila. Any mitzvah that was accepted with joy, like the mitzvah of Mila, Dichsiv Sasanochi Alim Rasecha Kemotzei Shalom Rav. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that I am rejoicing over your commandment. It's like I found a lot of wealth. And Rashi over here spent some time. You can see the Rashi. Not going to go through it right now. Rashi spent some time. How we know that this is specific to the mitzvah of Mila. It's the Amira. It's the original Amira. It's the first mitzvah that was given to us. Okay, see Rashi inside. So we had joy over the mitzvah of Mila, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. And if the Jewish people have joy at the beginning, adainos and asoba simcha. So we can still continue to have the joy. And Rashi says every time there's a mitzvah of Mila, osim mishta. We make a suda that goes together with the Mila. That's a reflection of the joy that we have over the mitzvah. V'chol mitzvah shekiblu aleim b'katata, in any mitzvah that when we were originally presented, we were bittersome. We quarreled over kagon arayus, like the mitzvah of arayus, parshas baloscha dechsiva yishma Moshe esam bochel mishpachosav. The people are crying over the family. Now the simple pshat in the pasuk is they're crying within the family. But al iske mishpachosav. But what they were really crying about is the fact that now that the Torah was introduced, and now people could not marry their relatives, and back in the day it was the common practice, right? You don't have to go that far back in Chumash in order to appreciate that this was done, right? Yaakov and Rachel, Yaakov and Leah, they were sisters. They were also related even before they were sisters. They were related to him, meaning that this was common practice. And nevertheless, when Klal Yisrael were given the mitzvah of Arayah, so they hated it. They didn't like it. So Adainos and Oso B'Katata. So even though obviously we keep them, but begrudgingly, and there's fighting. And the Gemara says, and how does this manifest? Delek Ksuba, Delo Rama Batigra. So every time the Mechutanim get together in order to make the negotiations for the Chasna and for the Ksuba, so there's going to be fighting. It's kind of built into the fabric of the Jewish people that unfortunately there's going to be fighting under those circumstances. Okay, and the Gemara understands that its sources goes all the way back to the original time where the mitzvah was originally presented to us. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rishim and Elazar, Amar Kol Mitzvah Shemasu Yisrael Atzman Aleihem Lamisa B'Shas Gzeiras Amachus Kegon Avodas Kochav Memila Adain Hi Muchzekes Biadam. Again, the Gemara talks about the history that goes into mitzvos. In that, if you have a mitzvah where the Jewish people are moser nefesh, they're ready to sacrifice themselves, even give up their lives, like the mitzvah of idolatry, like the mitzvah of Mila, so those things, once we historically have sacrificed over those mitzvahs, Those mitzvahs are with us, and they're with us strong. However, there are mitzvahs that we were not moser nefesh, could go and tefillin, like the mitzvah of tefillin, adayin himarupa biadam. So the mitzvah is not strong by us. There is a mitzvah for us to wear tefillin at all times. And minhag Yisrael is not to wear tefillin at all times. And the Rishonim already talk about how even there might have even been more laxity on the mitzvah of tefillin. Anyway, we're not strong in the mitzvah of tefillin. And the Gemara says it goes historically back to the fact that we were not moser nefesh. And the Gemara just simply gives us a case study in which demonstrates that we were not moser nefesh. Dam Rav Yanai tefillin tzrichin guf naki kalisha bal kanafayim. This is now the second time in our Masechta that we are going over the story of Elisha bal kanafayim. We saw it back on Daf Memtes, and now we get to see it just a short 80 days later. So the Gemara says that the when wearing tefillin, you have to have gufnaki, you have to have a clean body. Like Elisha bal kanafayim, literally the owner of the wings. Maihi. So first of all, what does that mean, a gufnaki? Amar Abai shelo yafich behem. Rava Amar shelo yishan behem. When wearing tefillin, one should not be passing gas, one should not be sleeping. And why was he referred to as Elisha Bakanafayim? Gazra Machus Arisha Gzera al Yisrael. One time the Romans made a decree against the Jewish people. That anyone who puts on tefillin, he's going to get the head poke caved in. Obviously, Mida Keneged Mida, the area where you're wearing your tefillin, that area is going to get caved in. Elisha now put on his tefillin, he went out to the market, Varu Kazdor Echad, and a Roman policeman saw him, Ratz Malfanav, Ratz Aracharav, and then the chase began. Kevin Shigiat Slow. Now when the Roman caught up with Elisha Bakanafayim, Natlan Me Rosho Ba'achso Biado, he took the tefillin off of his head, and he held it into his hands. Amarle Mabi Adecha. And the Roman says to him, what do you have in your hand? Amarlo Kanfe Yona. And he says, I have the wings of a dove. Pasha Yadov Nimsu Ba Kanfe Yona. He opens up his hands, and there were in his hands, instead of the tefillin, were the wings of the dove. Because of this miracle that took place with him, so he got the nickname from that point going forward, Bal Kanafayim. How does this show that the Jewish people were not careful in the mitzvah of tefillin? So Rashi over here writes that Rashi Gufnaki, Dibra Amaschol, I'm sorry, Dibra Amaschol, Dam Rav Yana Tefillin Tzrichin Gufnaki. So Rashi writes, Shelo Yafich Amalo Zihiribahu. Meaning he was the exception, he wasn't the rule. Meaning once the Romans made the decree that you're not allowed to put on tefillin, nobody put on tefillin. The only exceptional case was Elisha Bakanafayim. So what the Gemara is highlighting to us is that the default was that nobody was ready to be Moser Nefesh. Elisha Bakanafayim was ready to be Moser Nefesh. Okay, and there are a lot of discussions regarding this particular Gemara. Regarding, well, let's first finish the Gemara and then I'll make a couple of comments. Maishna Kanfe Yona. Why is it referred to as Kanfe Yona? Damarle Yona Nechva Bekesav Eversebi Yakrak Charutz. The fact that of all the birds that Elisha Bakanafayim decided to share with the Roman that were in his hand, he said a Yona. So it's based on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Tehillim says that the birds of a Yona Nechva Bekesav are plated with silver. And Evrosa biyakra charutz, and it uses its wings in order to fight off its enemies. My Yona zeh kanafeh meginos aleha, just like the Yona fights off with its wings. Af Yisrael mitzvos meginos aleim. Our wings are our mitzvos, and that's what we use to fight off our enemies. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the episode. We discussed it briefly back on Memtes, and I'm not going to even discuss it briefly over here. I'll just highlight there are obvious issues that need to be discussed. Is tefillin the kind of mitzvah that a person should be moser nefesh over? Meaning, what should a person be giving his life over? So we know the Gimel Chamuros. We know the three cardinal sins, the Shichus Damim, Gilui Arayis, Avodah Zarah. We also know the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that if it's Shas HaShmad, so then you also have to give up your life as well. Presumably this is a Shas HaShmad, so you should be moser nefesh. Which, okay, that part's easy. The part that is less easier to explain is that once he was ready to be moser nefesh, so why did he take off his tefillin? And does he have an allowance to take off his tefillin? So that part is not easy to explain. That definitely demands an explanation. Okay, I'm just highlighting. Over here we have a lot more Gemara that we need to cover for today's daf. Amar Rabbi Abba bar Rav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ma'acha, Shichuchu v'lo Iviu, Izamo Me'er Shabbos. Okay, so we are now in the bottom of the Amud, and if we could just recap our morning so far. There is a debate amongst the Tanaim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva whether or not Machshir Mila is Dochis HaShabbos. Not the actual Mila itself, which of course is Dochis HaShabbos, Mila Bizmana, but rather Machshir Mila. So Rabbi Elazar says that you can do also the preparatory stages of the Mila, even though that involves Chilul Shabbos. Shita's Rabbi Akiva is that you can only do the Mila itself. Within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, how far back can you go in terms of the preparatory stages? So there does not seem to be a limit. In fact, we saw over the course of this morning, you can carry the knife, even though that's a violation of Hotzah. You can make a knife, even though that itself is also going to be many malachas being violated, all in order to do the mitzvah of Mila. We're going to be focusing now on the act of carrying on Shabbos, and we start with the following. And we're on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. I'm going to start again. Amar Rabbi Abba Barav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Pam Acha Shichuchu V'lo Yiviyu Izamal Me'erev Shabbos. So there was an occasion where they forgot and they did not bring the knife on Erev Shabbos. V'hiviyu B'Shabbos. And they brought it on Shabbos. Derech, Gagos, V'derech, Chatzeros, Shelo B'Ritzon Rabbi Lazar. Now how did they bring the knife? So they brought it in a circuitous fashion, and that is, they brought the knife through the rooftops and through the courtyards. Okay, a crash course in Erevin will take place right now. On Shabbos, you can carry in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you cannot carry in a Rosh Hashanah Rabin. That is the simplest way to say it. Now, to carry from your house into your chutz or into your courtyard that's shared by other people, so mid the Araisa, you're allowed to do that. However, mid the Rabbanan, that's going to be prohibited. Since the chatzar, even though it's a reshus hayachid, it's a private domain, but nevertheless it's shared by other people. So therefore the chachamim ban carrying from one reshus hayachid owned by one person to another reshus hayachid owned by either another person or a group of other people. And so that is an iser de Rabbanan. And, but it is only an iser de Rabbanan, it is not an iser de Araisa. Now, in terms of domain, so we're going to hear a lot of terms this morning. We're going to hear about the chaser, that's the courtyard. We're going to hear about the karpuf. That's basically the same thing as a courtyard. It just happens to be in the back. It's like almost like a backyard. You know, I'm giving modern conventions of what the Gemara is describing. We're going to be discussing extensively this morning a mavui. A mavui is an alleyway. I'll describe it in much better detail in just a little bit from now. The gagos are the rooftops, which, again, similar. It's a shared common area. It's a reshus yachid. It's got walls around it. But it's a shared reshus yachid. So, what happened over here is that somebody forgot the knife, and so they brought it. Now, instead of taking the direct route of going through the street and carrying through reshus harabim, so they took the knife and they went the back alley. And they went back alley over here in order to mitigate the amount of chilul Shabbos. Because by going through the chatzir to the gag, to another chatzir, so what you're doing now is you're jumping from one reshus yachid to another reshus yachid. You're doing so violating Isuri de Rabbanan because, again, unless they are combined through an Eruv, going from one Rosh Hashanah owned by one person to another Rosh Hashanah owned by another person or by another group, so that is rabbinically forbidden to do on Shabbos. So the way that the knife was transported was through mitigation, only by violating Isuri de Rabbanan, not Isuri de Raisa. And Rabbi Eliezer caught wind of this. He was very unhappy. Now the Gemara, as we now turn to the top of Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, so the Gemara says, "Maskip la Rabbi Yosef Shalom Beretzon Rabbi Lazar Adabab Adarabba Rabbi Lazar Hu Deshari." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean, Rabbi Lazar was unhappy? He would have been happy with that." V'chitem Shalom Beretzon Rabbi Lazar Deshari Afilu Berushos Rabim. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but I'll tell you why he was unhappy. He was unhappy because if you ask Rabbi Lazar the question, how do we get the knife? Rabbi Lazar says, take the quickest route." Now remember Tosfos that we started off our morning with. Tosfos says that. And quicker is better. Meaning once you're memahir, once you expedite the mitzvah, so then for sure you should violate Isuri d'Oraisa. Just again as a parenthetical note, not because we're going to look at it, but if you take a look at Tosfos over here on the top of the Amud Beis, it doesn't really fit well with the way we just presented it. But anyway. But the Dishari. So you're telling me now that Rebbe Lazar would be unhappy because he would tell you to go directly through Rosh Hashanah. V'chitem shelo beratzon Rebbe Lazar d'shari afilu b'rishus rabim ela beratzon rabbanan. D'asur derech rishus rabim v'shari derech gagos derech chatziris v'karfifos. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the right way to understand it is that it's not that Rebbe Lazar was unhappy, is that the chachamim, I'm sorry, Rebbe Lazar was unhappy, as we already explained, but maybe it's the shelo beratzon chachamim, maybe the chachamim they're following the sheet of the Chachamim. The Gemara says that's not true. They're not following the sheet of the Chachamim. Umishar v'atani k'shem shem mivim also derech rishos rabim kachem mivim also lo derech kagos lo derech kafifos lo derech hatzeros. So the Gemara says, but according to the Chachamim, you can't bring the knife even though you're mitigating. Even though you're only violating Isuri de Rabbanan, you still can't bring the knife. You can't bring the knife through the rooftop, through the backyard, through the front yard, through the courtyard. You according to the Chachamim, one is not allowed to violate Isuri de Rabbanan. If the Mila has not been prepared, and Isuri de Rabbanan have to be violated in order to do the mitzvah of Mila, you can't violate Isuri de Rabbanan. And according to the Chachamim, the bris is just simply going to be postponed to Sunday. So the Gemara says, so what we are right now is a little bit stuck. Meaning, is Rav Elazar happy with what happened with the knife? The answer is no. Because Rav Elazar will tell you have to go directly through the Rishus HaRabim. Are the Chachamim happy with what was done with the knife in the way it was transported? The answer there as well is no. Because the Chachamim would have not allowed it. So right now, we're somewhere in the middle, and we don't know who's happy with the way that it was presented this way. Who instructed the knife should be brought in this back alley manner? So, Alam Ravashi, Shlober, son Reb Elazar, Umachlu Kasal. So, Ravashi explains that the group of people that were unhappy with the way the knife was transported was both Reb Elazar and the Chachamim, as we just got done explaining, for two different reasons, for two polar opposite reasons. Reb Elazar's unhappy because why did you go in a backhanded manner? Why did you mitigate? Go right through the Rishus HaRabim. And if you ask the Chachamim, why did you do it at all? You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have even done it violating Yisur HaRabbanan. So they're both unhappy. So the Gemara now wants to know, okay, so if we have two groups of people who are unhappy, so who was happy? Meaning, who was the one who gave this advice? Ela b'Ritzon Rabbi Shimon. So we have a third Tana. Now, if you already learned Masechta Erevin, so all this will sound somewhat familiar to you. And if you know Masechta Erevin, so it's more than just familiar with you. But, however, the Erevin is not super popular in Masechta, so let's get acquainted. Now we are now going to introduce ourselves to a third Shita, and that's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echa Gagos, Echa Karfifos, Echa Chatzeros, Kulan, Rishus Echa Nehen, Lekelen Sheshavtu Besochan, Velo Lekelen Sheshavtu Besoch Abayis. Shita's Rabbi Shimon is as follows. All these yards, courtyards, backyards, rooftops. So, as far as Shabbos is concerned, as long as they are contiguous to one another, so they're all considered Rishus Achas, it's all considered one domain. But only for any article that was in there going into Shabbos. So, if I left any item in the Chatzir on Shabbos, and it opens up to another Chatzir, it opens up to another Gag, it opens up to another Karfaf, it opens up to any other yard. So according to the Shita Rabbi Shimon, they're all viewed halachically as one domain, and transportation can be done with this item from one chatzar to another, from a chatzar to a karfaf, etc., etc. It can't, according to Rabbi Shimon, it cannot be taken from the house into the courtyard. Now, by the way, the only way that you can take an item out from the house to the courtyard is if either A, the courtyard is exclusively owned by the homeowner, or B, there was an eruv that was made for all the multiple users of the courtyard. But even if that were the case, according to Rabbi Shimon, if the item started on Shabbos in the house and I brought it out to the courtyard, you can't go from courtyard to backyard to other yards. But for anything that started in the yard on Shabbos, according to Shita's Rabbi Shimon, so then it can be transported via any other contiguous yard. That is all Shita's Rabbi Shimon. Now that we know Shita's Rabbi Shimon, so now we understand. The knife and the baby were in two different locations. There was a route that one could have taken to get the knife to the baby, and that is by going through all these yards, and they asked Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon said, that's right, that's absolutely correct, meaning this is not a special allowance that's given, this is just simply the halacha, according to Rabbi Shimon, that one is allowed to transport from a chatzir to a gag to a karfaf, as long as they're contiguous, one can go from one to the other. Okay, the Gemara now is going to move, and this is going to be our last discussion of this morning, and that is the following. Now, we're going to be discussing Mavui, so it is now a wonderful time to give a crash course in a Mavui. The way that their city planning was designed in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Gemara, is that they had the following. It is basically, for those of you who have experience living in Queens, it happens to be a Montoya Circle, here in Boca Raton, somewhat similar in nature. But if, in other words, if you go back to your days where you lived in these garden apartments, so basically the garden apartments was probably the best like modern example I can think of in terms of describing this mavui, in that you had many homes opened up into a single courtyard. So that single courtyard is called a chatzer. Now the chatzer is joint ownership, right? Every homeowner has got his rights, some sort of ownership share within the courtyard. Now you had multiple houses opened up to a courtyard, and that courtyard opened up into a street, into a what we're going to call now a mavui. Now a mavui is flanked on three sides. So basically what you're looking at is a U. So you had houses opened up into courtyards, courtyards opening up into the mavui, and eventually the mavui flushes out into a street. Now, from a halachic standpoint, the house obviously is a Rishus Yachid. The chatzer, which is encompassed by walls, also is a Rishus Yachid. And the mavui also is a Rishus Yachid. Now, the mavui is the hardest of these to see as a Rishus Yachid because it only has three walls. The chatzer typically has four walls. And the mavui is also opening up, it's spilling out right into Rishus HaRabin. So, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the beginning of Maseches Erevin describing what the Chachamim did in terms of precaution so that we know where the Mavui ends and where the Rishus HaRabin begins. And we're going to be using terms like Lechi and Korah as we open up Maseches Erevin. Okay, with all that stated, so now the Gemara's question over here, it's really a specific question. And it's an Erevin question, but okay, but it's meanwhile, it's here in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So the question over here is as follows. Let's say I have a Mavui, and we did not make a sheet of Mavos. Now that's also a new term for us today. Sheet of Mavos is the idea that, like we described, in order to carry from the house into the courtyard, you have to make an Eruv, and that unifies, and that makes now the courtyard as basically one single living entity for all the members. Well, again, all the halachas of Erevin, we're going to leave for a Masechta Erevin. Right now, just the idea of making an Eruv. So the same thing is true regarding a Mavui. In order to be able to carry from the Chatzer into the Mavui, so you have to also make an Erev. It happens to be that the term that's used is not an Erev, but rather it's called Shituf Mavos. But to be Meshutuf means to become partners. So it's a similar idea. So over here, the question on the table is the following. I have a Mavui. There was no Shituf that was made in the Mavui. So can I carry in the Mavui? Now carrying in the Mavui means the following. The Mavui, as we already pointed out, is really a Rishus HaYachid. On the other hand, it opens up into a Rishus HaRabin. And so, the question on the table is as follows. I certainly, without the Shituf, I cannot carry from the Chatzer to the Mavui. That's a non-starter. That's obvious. But within the Mavui itself, would one be allowed to carry within the area of the Mavui? Remember how earlier we discussed that if something was left in the Chatzer, so one could carry within the entire Chatzer, and according to Rabbi Shimon, even jump from one chatzer to another chatzer. So the Gemara now is having a related discussion within a mavui. If you did not make a shita for the mavui, but would I still be allowed to carry an item within the total area of the mavui? Mi amrina ke chatzer dami. And so the Gemara now wants to say, look, let's make the comparison. Ma chatzer afagav galo irvo mutal atalta bekulo. We know that in the chatzer, even without an eruv, one can move an item from one corner of the chatzer to another. So maybe the same thing is going to be true regarding the mavui. That even though no sheet of mavui was made, nevertheless one could pick up an item and move it from one corner of the mavui to another corner. And maybe no, the comparison is not a good comparison. The chatzer is laid on mechitzos because the chatzer has got four walls. But a mavui does not have four walls as we already described. Inami chatzer is laid diurim hailes bay diurim. And also on top of that, the chatzer is much more of a residential area. The mavui is not a residential area. The mavui really is more of a, more serves as an alleyway, as an access. And so even though halachically it's a Rishus HaYachid, but we don't view it as a residential area. So maybe it does not benefit the same kind of allowances that we have in the chatzer. Okay, so that's the question on the table. Can I move from one corner of a mavui to another corner? Not can I walk, but can I transport something from one corner of the mavui to another corner of the mavui, even though no shita was made, much like I could do that within a chatzer. Shasig velo amrle velo midi. Now remember, this question was posed from Rav Zera to Rav Asi. Rav Asi was quiet. He did not know how to answer. Zimna Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So the Gemara says now there was another occasion where they found Rabbi Reish Lakish saying the following over in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Pam achas shichuchu v'lo yivil izemel me'er Shabbos v'hivil b'Shabbos v'haya adavar kashla chachamim. They forgot the knife for the Mila on Shabbos. They transported the knife, and the matter was difficult for the Chachamim. So, the Heich Menichin Divrei Chachamim V'osin K'Rebbe Eliezer. Now, the knife was transported, and Rebbe was kind of beside himself, meaning that's not the accepted halacha. And the accepted halacha is the Shita of the Chachamim. And how could you follow the Shita of Rebbe Elazar? Chara de Rebbe Elazar Shemuti. First of all, Rebbe Elazar was a Shemuti. Now, you've heard this numerous times throughout Shas. We discussed this briefly back in Brachos. And Tosfos over here, there are two ways to explain the Gemara in terms of what does that mean, Rebbe Elazar is a Shemuti. Tosfos over here, we'll go with Tosfos over here. He's a student of Beit Shammai. So it's not the accepted halacha. V'od yachid rabim, halacha karabim. And on top of that, we also know that whenever you have a machlokas between an individual and the majority, so we follow the majority. So Rebbe is beside himself. How was the knife transported? The Amr of Oshia Shialti is Rebbe Yehuda Hagozer v'Amr Li Mavu Shal Nishat V'Bo Hava V'Aisu Mihai Reisha L'Hai Reisha. Ah, so the Gemara says the question when presented was not presented accurately, or the issue was not presented accurately. It wasn't that the knife was transported through a Rosh Hasharabin. That's not what happened. But rather, what happened was that the baby was in the Mavui, the knife was in the Mavui, and the knife was picked up and moved from one corner of the Mavui to the other corner of the Mavui. It was transported more than 4 amos within the Mavui, and the Mavui, there was no shituf that was made in the Mavui. That was the issue that was under discussion. So, Amr Le, Svirle Lamar, Mavui Shal Nishafu, Mutal Latalta Bakulo. And then the question was, well, if the Mavui did not have the shituf, would I be allowed to carry from one corner of the Mavui to the other? Amalei in. So his answer was, yeah, you're allowed to do that. So Amalei vazimnen bai minach v'lo amartli. He says, wait one second. That's exactly the question that I've been asking you all this time, and you didn't answer me. V'lo amartli lehachi. So dilma agav shitfech right lach gemarch. And maybe you were just simply running through the sugya so quickly that you didn't have time to really think about it. Amalei in, and he says, that's exactly right. Agav shitfa rihitali gemari. So he says that's exactly what happened. I was running through the sugya so quickly that I missed over the point. But you're absolutely right. In other words, even though there was no shita that was made in the mavui, you are allowed to carry from one corner of the mavui to the other, much like you're allowed to carry from one corner of the chatzer to the other corner of the same chatzer. Okay, we are going to be discussing this issue of mavui going into tomorrow's daf. This discussion takes us a little bit into tomorrow's daf, so this is the place we're going to pause, as we're going to come back to this discussion, Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow morning. Let's recap our daf. Our Mishnah introduces us to the mitzvah of Mila, and specifically the allowance to do the mitzvah of Mila on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Elazar, not only is the mitzvah of Mila docha Shabbos, again, I'm going to keep emphasizing, Mila bizmana. It has to be on the eighth day. By the way, just as a parenthetical note, it's really important just to always point out, that it has to be a natural birth in order for the mitzvah of Mila to be done on Shabbos. We're going to be discussing this. I think it comes up in our parak. It certainly came up in Masechta Nida. Anyway, if it's a Zarian, so then that Mila is not Docha Shabbos. Okay, just trying to popularize a halacha. It's really the responsibility of the Molim to know this. But anyway, the mitzvah of Mila Bezmana is Doche Es HaShabbos. According to Rebbe Elazar, Machshirei Mila is Doche Es HaShabbos as well. The first issues that we dealt with is as follows, that if, according to Rebbe Elazar, you're transporting the knife through the Rosh Hasharabim, the knife has to be exposed. The Gemara had a question. Is that because of a demonstration of our love for the mitzvah? Or is that just simply to be above suspicion so that no one suspect that I'm violating the Shabbos? The Gemara sided clearly with the first approach. It has to do with chivav ha-mitzvah, our love for the mitzvah. Next, if you're living in the community of Rebbe Elazar, so you follow his psak. If you're living in the community of Rebbe Yossi HaGalili, you follow his psak. Rebbe Elazar gives an allowance to do machshir and mila on Shabbos. Rebbe Yossi HaGalili allows for the consumption of, for the cooking of fowl and milk together, and the consumption of fowl and milk together. And if you're living in his community, you follow his psak. And for the rest of us, we do not follow neither the Pesach of Rebbe Lazar nor the Pesach of Rebbe Yossi Aglili. And then we talked about how there is a attitude that's built into mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that we had attitudinally, when first given to us, we were in a state of joy, that perpetuates historically. Attitudinally, if mitzvahs were given to us and we were not happy about it, so that also continues historically. And the same thing is true regarding Mesiras Nefesh, says the Gemara. That if we're Moser Nefesh over particular mitzvahs, like Avodah Zarah, like Avodah Zarah, like the mitzvah of Milah, so we're going to continue to be Moser Nefesh over these mitzvahs historically. On the other hand, mitzvahs like Tefillin, which we were not Moser Nefesh, so that does not, it's not strong in our hands. We turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf. All that was Amud Aleph. We turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf, and we discuss the following. A knife was forgotten. A knife was transported, and it went back alley. Literally, it went through all the alleyways in order to get to the baby. And nobody was happy with that. Not nobody. Rebbe Lazar wasn't happy because if you asked him, he should go directly through the Rishus Harabim. And the Chachamim weren't happy because you're violating Yisuri Derabanan to go from one Chatzir to another Gag, to another Karfaf, and that would be Nissa Derabanan. And the Chachamim do not allow even a Nissa Derabanan to override the Shabbos. Only the actual mitzvah of Mila itself, and not Machshiri Mitzvah, not Machshiri Mila, not even Yisuri Derabanan Machshiri Mila can override the Shabbos. So the Chachamim would tell you not to do it. So who was happy with that position? So that was Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is a third opinion that views a karfaf, a chatzer, a gag, as Rishus Achas, as long as the item was started there on Shabbos, so then you can move the item back alley, according to Rabbi Shimon. It's not a special allowance, that is simply just the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And our last discussion that we had this morning was regarding a mavui that no shita was made. And so this mavui, which technically is a Rishus HaYachid, on the other hand, flanking a Rishus HaRabim, so there is more need to be concerned in a mavui. Would one be allowed to transport an item in a mavui from one corner of the mavui to the other if no shituf was made for that mavui? In a chatzer, you're allowed to do that. In a mavui, the question stands. The two distinctions the Gemara made is that a mavui only has three walls, a chatzer has four walls, even though they're both rishus liyachid, but nevertheless, that's a distinction to be made. And number two, a chatzer is residential, and a mavui is not considered residential. And so for those two possible reasons, so maybe there is more reason to be more concerned and therefore prohibit carrying from one corner of the mavui to the other. This question was posed from Rebbe Zera to Rav Asi. And Rav Asi at first said he didn't know the answer, or he was quiet, but then he remembered the answer, and his answer was a definitive yes. And if you can remember this answer for tomorrow's daf, because tomorrow, it's a difficult sugya, admittedly, but tomorrow the answer is going to be no. But right now, at least for the end of today's daf, the answer is going to be yes, you're allowed to carry from one corner of the mavui to the other.